Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. You're on air. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I have many topics I want to cover. Okay, first thing first. I was in Oystens yesterday because I went to the ATM and I saw a family doing regular shopping. Now, I am thinking, if I'm the mother or I'm the father, I will be the only person going into the supermarket. Now is not the time for Bajans to take their entire family, children and everybody, into the supermarket to shop for obvious reasons. That's my one point. My second point is online banking. Now, you keep hearing, go online, do your banking, get the app, whatever the case may be. They are not everything that you can pay online. For example, I went to pay an elderly man's Flo cell phone bill, and you can't select that bill. You can select Flo, formerly tele communication or something like that, and you can pay on the internet or the landline, but not the cell phone bill. So now I had to go and search for whatever SurePay was open. So my question is, are SurePay open?
You could pay her. You could pay his bill online, though. You could pay his cable wireless on Flo and Digicel bills online.
Well, I went to pay online.
Not using SurePay, but you can do it directly to them.
Yeah, but okay. I do online banking with First Caribbean, and I did not see the Flo for the cell phone for me to select to make that payment.
I don't know if they have that, but I know that for Flo, you can pay Flo directly. Basically, you go to their portal and you pay the bill directly at their portal.
Oh.
Right? Okay. So you do have that option. It's good that you are assisting an older person in that regard, though.
I have another point on that.
I know. I'm just saying I'm hoping that there are more young people like you that can offer this kind of assistance, because naturally you would have a greater technical knowledge of these matters.
Thank you. Mm. So there's another older person. Sure. That I do shopping for. I did her shopping on the 12th. I know she's listening to this program, so I wouldn't say who she is to me because she might call me afterwards. Want to know why I have her business out there. Anyhow, I did her shopping on the 12th. I asked her afterward what she needs. I did the shopping. She didn't have cash. I paid for the shopping so that she would not go into town. Now, you mentioned many times about the person from Josie Hill going to Bridgetown. I think it's a pattern, and it's very hard for them to change. I call her on Friday and ask her if she ran out of anything, if she's anything else she need, and she said, oh, I know came from town. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but why would you go to town if I did your shopping for you before? There's Oystens right there because we are closer to Oystens than she is to town. Oh, I prefer to go to town.
I wanted
to go to the bank. So she went to the bank. She went in, and the bank line was long. Mm-hmm. She went to Popular. She did her shopping. She struggled with the bags, and went to the bandstand. But I'm like, it doesn't matter what we say. They are very stubborn, and it's a pattern. So although she can go to Oystens, she's so accustomed going to town that she's just going to go to town.
I can tell you a little story, a personal story. My father-in-law lives in Milan, as you know, is in the Lombardy region that was hard hit by the coronavirus. He's 87 years old, and he goes to the supermarket every day. That's his thing. Every day he goes to the supermarket. When this nonsense started, he continued to go to the supermarket every day because that's what he's done for, you know, past 70 years. It's difficult to break a tradition where you have established it in that way. We spoke to him and frequently and said, you know, this is not a good idea. This is something that has to change. But he insisted on going every day. What has happened in Italy now, because it was only him, there were several of them, is that government has essentially passed legislation stopping people from leaving the house without good reason. And he has now been forced to change his habits by virtue of the fact that if he does venture outside, he could be faced with a criminal sanction.
So there is another
side to it too. There is a facility that has been created, an NGO group of people like yourself, like volunteers, and they do a rotation. So they will come now weekly, and they will take a list and they go to the supermarket. The point I'm trying to make, ma'am, is that I understand this idea of habit that affects older people. And I understand that for a lot of them, there are a few outings during the week. One is groceries, the other one is church. And they guard those jealously because it's the only chance they get to leave the house and to interact with people and whatnot. And I get that. But I also think that government has a responsibility, if necessary, to respond with a legal sanction that forces these people to stay home, because this is not something you can mess about with.
What would you say to her? Because I know she's listening because she just called me on my cell phone, so now she knows it's me. Well, can you talk to her directly?
I would say the same thing to her that I would say to the lady on the 88-year-old lady who traveled from Josie Hill into town. Stop home. No, I mean, it's not something that you like. It's not something that you enjoy.
Oh,
but
God.
Stop home. And my mother ain't different, you know. She's not the happiest camper these days because she has been forced to remain at home for an extended period of time. And you know what? It can continue for longer. You know, sometimes there's an option where older people will tell you, don't do as I say. Don't do as I do as I say. And essentially follow me because I know better. This is now a situation where the tables are turned and we have to say to older people, just listen to what I'm telling you and stop home and don't question it, because this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Now that I'm home from work, I don't go by her because I'm trying to protect her. Mm. But yeah, so she's going into town, mingling with all kind of people. So I don't know.
I understand your burden. And I too have been trying to exercise similar behavior because you really want to protect older people. What they don't understand is that you would get the coronavirus, you would probably start home, take paracetamol, and you'd be back on your feet. At that age, you get sick, the likelihood of your passing is extremely high. And it's as simple as that. And I mean, if the statistics are telling us that, a person who is 70 plus that gets sick might not make it. For you, you probably would get sick and you would get about better. So it's better for you to go in town and do what has to be done, or to go out and do what has to be done and just carry the stuff and leave it for her. I really don't know that there's a lot of opportunity for us to negotiate on this issue any further with older people, because a lot of them will never get it, and it just has to be a situation where I do believe that the Ministry of Elder Affairs and the government will have to take a legal position on this matter and say to people, look, if you come out of your house in a situation where you cannot demonstrate you had good reason to, you could be prosecuted. And that's the simple thing, because, you know, the reality is that when she goes in town, right, and she gets sick, then it means that she can take up a ventilator in the hospital or in the COVID center. And it means that for 2 weeks or so, that ventilator may be trying to keep her alive. And it forces a burden on the healthcare system that we can avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm hoping that she's listening in truth and that people understand it's not you're trying to force them to change their behavior or to stop home or to do internet banking or whatnot. It's that you're forcing them to stay alive. And that's really all it is.
Yeah, she's listening. Yeah. One more point.
Sure, go ahead, ma'am.
One or two, three more points. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we were at number 34, I think, last time I checked. And I know that with St. Vincent, they had won, and they now have no more cases because that one got better. Out of these 34, do you know how many got better? Because we are still looking at 34, but technically it may not be 34 that are still sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Okay. Oh, I'm not sure, ma'am. I'm assuming that the 34 would be the total number of people that have been detected such so far. And I think that the first couple of them would probably be out of that period now, because they are they should be asymptomatic by now. Because they are, sorry, they should be over the illness by now, because that was about 2 weeks ago. So that's my assumption, that the first few cases would have recovered. But that's something that I can probably try to get some information on, because everyone who has been identified is not necessarily an active case. So, for example, when we hear thousands of people being testing positive in Italy, Milan, and in England and so on, and the United States, it doesn't mean that they're all actually sick, because these are people who may be at different levels of recovery. Right?
Okay.
And all right. Go ahead.
One more point. Okay, looting. I just saw a video in Mexico with people looting, taking up things that are not necessities, not important supplies at this point in time. Now, I know businesses have shutters to protect their business from looting and stuff, but sometimes looting come with families being frustrated of not having basic stuff. Who do families turn to or who can they call when they run out now being at home all this time or not having an income?
Call the police. Oh, you mean in terms of
no,
the economic situation?
No, families that need stuff. Like your children are home, you're at home, you don't have any more money. You don't know what to give them to eat.
That's an important point. I believe the welfare department was going to have to, they have not thus far, but I believe that very shortly they will have to speak to those realities. Because you imagine one of those people who sells sweets or sells something and essentially makes a living selling juices or something like that. That person is encouraged to remain at home. And you have two such persons in a household, in no time at all, they will run out of money. So my sense is that there really has been, I wouldn't say an oversight, but the provisions thus far have not followed the unregulated sector in Barbados. And sadly, a lot of our sectors are unregulated. So a lot of the services sector is not a regulated sector. So as a result, I would say within 2 to 3 weeks, a lot of persons in that sector will run out of money and will essentially find themselves throwing themselves on the system. And government has at that point in time to be in a position to respond. At this stage, I don't know what to tell you, but my assumption is that very shortly we will hear about some compensating mechanisms. In New York, they have set up a food bank, for example, for people who could just go and get food for free. I don't know whether we may get to that stage where we need to start looking at things like that, because there are going to be people shortly who just don't have the money to pay. This thing is a leveler of phenomenal proportions that is going to create a lot of paupers out of regular folk that get by reasonably well for that reason.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, that's it, ma'am. Thank you for the call, and I appreciate hearing from you and the concerns that you raised. So let's hope that some others are listening and will follow accordingly. All right? I've just been advised that Grenada has implemented the most restrictive rules in the region for their shutdown period of 7 days. There will be no jogging, no beach, no walking of the dog, no talking to the neighbors over fence, no taxi cabs allowed to operate. Many buses can go for groceries only one person per row. Hotels have to put up their staff for the next 7 days and bear the cost of food and lodging them. And this is in hotels. Grocery stores and shops will open from 8 until noon on certain days only. And hotels, of course, will have to put up. Everything is closed in Grenada for all intents and purposes. That's rough. And let's hope that it doesn't get to that stage in Barbados. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. Rosemary Arlene tells me that I just said people's prescriptions, when I should say persons' prescriptions. My apologies, Rosemary. It is persons' prescriptions. Rosemary was once a teacher of mine. And like Sir Lloyd would be concerned about any inappropriate use of the Queen's Good English. So my apologies. I have a note here from someone who advises me that the Acting Chief Medical Officer yesterday said that persons need to have 2 clear tests to be cleared and considered over the virus. Up to today, up to a few days ago, he said that no one yet had tested twice as clear just yet. So the answer to the question would be that no, none of those persons are clear just yet. Dr. Brastocks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, afternoon, Winnie. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Happy belated birthday. When is it today?
The 29th. I'm a March monkey.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm the 27th.
Okay. Okay. You're a March monkey, too.
Yeah, man. No, man. You're the male monkey, and I'm the woman monkey.
Yeah, no problem. So happy belated birthday to you as well.
Yes.
You spent yours quietly like mine?
Oh, yes. Very quietly indeed.
I trust you didn't do a 40-kilometer cycle ride like me?
What? No. Anyway, so how are you anyway, Peter?
I'm good.
Yeah, what the lady said about the people going to the supermarket with their children, and how can you bring babies in the supermarket and little children? The supermarket should make a law now, to every shopper, no children, no babies, because they take up a lot of room and they're running around and they, that's what I'm saying. But
suppose you don't have someone to take care of your children,
Peter. Don't tell me you don't have a neighbor or oh, you live so bad that somebody cannot look at your kids unless you don't bring up your children, right? Huh?
No, but if you are practicing social distancing and the household has to stay together, you can't just send your children with somebody else.
All right, then listen, in the household, you got your granny going shopping with you. You got, so what, granny cannot stay
with you? If it's a situation where it's a household with children and with two persons, I would say definitely one person should go and do the groceries under these circumstances.
Okay, now,
if you are a single mother and you have two or three children, how are you supposed to manage? You got to carry your kids with you.
But this is what the country now saying that it's one person from a household. How are those people going to manage then? They're going to manage somehow, isn't it? They got kids.
Well,
you see,
people have coping mechanisms, and I appreciate where you're coming from, but I'm just saying we have to be careful because everyone doesn't have those luxuries.
Yeah, but Peter, every time there is something, there is always somebody who's objecting. We got to put our foot down. Right. This damn thing is not easy.
You know, uneasy, I agree, uneasy.
And it's, you know, and if you're somebody bringing it from outside, now the, is it Grenada said, one from the household. Mm-hmm. Is that the husband or the wife or a daughter or a son that is good enough? But both parents from that household cannot do go in the shop. You can drive and park, but one got to stay in the car and one go do the shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's every whole family going on. Well, I am saying that I am pleased the way wish Miss Mia Monty, all Prime Minister Mia Monty, the best of health. And I think this time she need the rest because from she win is nothing but go for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's resting, trust me. You know, but I really wish she could hurry up and come back in the name of the Lord.
Why she hurry up and come back? I think that we should have a quiet word with her doctors to keep her in there as long as possible.
I'm serious
because the pace at which she has been going is unreal for somebody who was clearly carrying an illness that required hospitalization. No, so I think that, no, regardless of the conditions, she has rolled a good pitch. She has a good person in charge, a decent foundation girl is in charge now. And I think what needs to happen is she needs to get fully recovered. So I ain't rushing her out of hospital.
No. She should take at least a month rest.
However so long it takes. And I hope the doctors impress upon her the importance to be fully recovered before she comes to the hospital. Because the moment she comes to the hospital, she's going to be back to work. So the best thing to do is keep she in there for
longer. Not working. Knowing her, she'll be on the phone working.
At least if she's in the hospital, her ability to work will be limited. You know, so that's where the best place for her is in the hospital. At least they would be able to, the doctors and nurses would be able to take away the iPad and so on for a little while and, you know.
But anyway, the supermarket now got to control the people much better.
They're trying, but it's hard, Winnie. I think a lot of the supermarkets are trying, but it's difficult because of the quantities.
They're not coming in. Because if they say 25 people, why are you pushing in and pushing trolley and people? Why you want to do that kind of stupidness?
Mm-hmm.
We are grown people. We are not, you know, we are not, what I would say, somebody that don't know the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not dark here that you cannot see. And they're licking you hard with these mm-hmm. trolleys.
But Winnie, you don't get preferential treatment when you go to the supermarket?
Me? No, boy. No,
but that ain't good enough. You shouldn't have to line up with the likes of me.
Why?
Because you are a little advanced in age.
Well, listen, at 72, but I'm still looking young and good.
But you also have some issues with your knees, no?
Yes.
Right, so for that reason, you have a good reason to think. I didn't say that you're looking bad, but I'm just saying that there are certain people that I believe should have advanced preference. Look, when I went to the supermarket last time, a guy came with a child, a young child, and everyone let him go to the front of the line. So similarly, if somebody who is of advanced age or somebody who has a handicap or an impediment like yourself, where a challenge, a physical challenge, I do feel that those persons should be given preference. So I don't find you should be lining up in no line. You should go to the head of the lane.
You don't go to the suit. You listen to me. These people don't care if you're falling down in the street.
Unless your knees working better than when last I saw you, I don't find you should be standing up in no lane.
No, don't worry. It's, you know, I go and I just do what I got. Peter, I don't have to go in the supermarket. Right. I try and get my husband try and get everything that we want.
Oh, so you make him stand up in the lane. Oh, that's better.
No, he's better fitted than me. Would you believe it?
Then that's the reason why he got set up in the lane.
Yeah, that's why I let him go sometimes. Okay, then, darling.
All right, Mom. Take care. Good to hear you, Winnie, and all the best. And happy belated birthday greetings. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Apparently, Chris Cuomo, who is now the brother-in-law of, who is the brother-in-law of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, he's tested positive for coronavirus after suffering fever, chills, and shortness of breath. Sadly, no, he is also on the positive coronavirus list. So Chris Cuomo just came across the news that he's now and he's now been tested positive for the coronavirus. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Go right ahead, please.
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad today, except for one problem. Mm-hmm. I'm here in Eden Lodge, mm-hmm. and at the moment, there is ash coming from the sky and smoke coming through the window. Mm-hmm. And I'm working remotely here with my daughter, mm-hmm. and this is the first time I'm calling the program, by the way, but I waited all this time because I think it's very inconsiderate that people are home, and at this time, people should not be burning any stuff, even if they want to do breadfruits. They shouldn't be burning breadfruits. Whatever they're burning, they should desist because their neighbors are at home. They're in quarantine, and you can't leave home like that. Mm-hmm. So people need to be considerate to others at this time. Children are home. Some have asthma. And people need to be a bit more considerate of the people around them. Older people are home. Mm-hmm. And this virus is a virus that attacks your lungs. So this is something that you should even be more cognizant of to not burn at this time in the community. Also, I'm not sure if I'm blaming somebody wrong. It could also be can burning. And where we live right here, when the dump starts to burn or whatever, it comes down here as well. Mm-hmm. So also the authorities need to, if a campfire breaks, so at this time they should take control of it quickly because more people are home and will be affected by these things and they can't leave. Mm-hmm. So these are things that you need to get on top of quickly because people can be get very sick at home and they can't and they will have to go. They will have to leave and go on the road. Mm-hmm. So I think that it should be addressed, and I would like whoever is doing it, if it's not something that happened as like a campfire or whatever, please cease and desist right now in Eden Lodge today. Please stop burning.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am, for that statement. A couple of things I have to read here. Apparently, if you are in urgent need of assistance for something like food, for survival, the Ministry of People's Empowerment can assist you. So if you are in that situation already, please make contact with the Ministry of People's Empowerment and see what assistance can be offered. That is an important point. Stetson reminds me that those of us who are trained in electronic journalism are taught that you can say persons. And I can say persons. So sorry, my teacher, Rosemary, who is also trained in electronic, but I was correct, so I could say persons. I also received communication from no less a person than my husband, who advises me that correcting a point that was made earlier that the coronavirus is a 3 to 4 week recovery in many instances, so. It will take several weeks to recover. The 2 weeks that I mentioned does not apply. That is more related to the period of time in which it takes the virus to manifest itself. So the recovery period can be up to 3 to 4 weeks. That's based on information that they would have received. So certainly, sorry if I misled anyone. And Dr. Best has already responded to the earlier comment to make it clear that nobody in Barbados has yet cleared that hurdle in terms of the period of time that it takes. And I think that's it for now. Yes. Okay, good morning. Good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon. Yeah. All goes best to you, Peter.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. A couple of things I want to share, Pete. Mm-hmm. One was that our 70-year-old daughter returned to Barbados two Thursdays ago coming through London, okay? Mm-hmm. And when she was tested, there was, in terms of temperature tested, there was no alarm. We had called the hotline because we initially thought that being quarantined, because everybody coming through any destination that was testing positive for the virus, that they should be self-quarantined. And when we called, we were told that for 2 weeks that she should not leave her bedroom other than for go to the bathroom or to take a bath. We were told that no one should touch her, mm-hmm. And that all meals should be served to her in her bedroom. She's been home in 12 days now. Mm-hmm. We've made every effort to adhere to that. I think she's only stepped out of the bedroom and gone outside on the lawn once in the 12 days. Mm-hmm. Didn't understand that this is what self-quarantining meant. So here she is, home again, 12 days, and I have not touched her once, physically touched her once in the 12 days. And so just want to encourage persons to recognize, I mean, she's showing no symptoms whatsoever. So the odds are is that she doesn't have any semblance of the virus at all. But the idea is to assume that she has, yeah, and to take every single precaution. Mm-hmm. I think one of the other things that we were told was that if there was more than one bathroom in the house, that she should be the only person using one of the bathrooms. And that, again, we have tried to, mm-hmm, we've actually adhered to. So often we're hearing the phrase to self-quarantine, but the details of what's being requested in self-quarantine, in my impression, are not coming out as clearly all the time. The other thing is that every single meal that she's eaten for the last 12 days has been eaten in her bedroom. Yeah. And one of us in the house taking the meals to her. Again, that was the request made when we called the hotline.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm just saying I want to thank you for making that clarification and making it clear to people what self-quarantine means, because I don't think a number of people understood the implications. And indeed, I know there are a lot of people who haven't followed it meticulously in the way that you have. So I appreciate very much your calling and making it clear what is required and the, you know, the rules that need to be observed in these situations, because it is really for the best. Yeah.
All right, two other things, Pete. Sure. Again, a couple of Saturdays ago, my mom is accustomed going to the market on a Saturday morning downtown twice every other Saturday. And I took her two Saturdays ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the response of my sister and her husband were a wake-up call for me, okay? Well, the first surprise to me when we went down to the market after 6:30 in the morning was the amount of people that were in the market. And then how close they were for the entire period that we were in the market, and realizing at that point in time that a lot of people were likely taking it for granted. Since that Saturday and the encouragement of my brother and my sister and her husband, have actually not gone into my mother's house since then. Every time they've gone, mm-hmm, I've just gone through the window. And again, the encouragement was that my mother is in the age bracket that people are saying to be cautious. So again, let me presume that I could have it or she could have it, and just talk to her through the window or talk to her on telephone, mm-hmm, but not to physically touch.
Yeah.
And these are habits that are not easy to break. But really and truly, if we really want to be safe and we don't allow this virus to escalate across Barbados, each one of us, each individual of us, got to take greater responsibility for our choices.
Yeah. I know two people who are in a similar situation who returned from overseas recently and have essentially self-isolated in a house, have not embraced or hugged their mother or father since coming back, and they are existing in that reality. And I get it. It's what it takes. It's what's required. And it won't be forever. So I'm with you on that one. All right.
Last one, Pete. There's some people in need that we get to be able to get some donations for. And then every 2 weeks, distribute the items that we get donated. Chicken, eggs, and some other food stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? One of them is a mother of three. Have running water, no electricity. Okay? Mm-hmm. The truth is that they do their thing on a bucket. Okay?
What do you mean, like cook?
No. No.
Oh, what, the sanitary thing?
The sanitary thing.
Whoa.
Okay? Don't have a toilet in their house. Okay?
But they have water.
They have water, but and no electricity.
But the water isn't run to plumbing, or they have an outdoor facility? Outdoor?
Yes, an outdoor facility, but no toilet. So there's a bath outdoors, but there's no toilet. So there's a bucket that's used.
So how do they, they don't have a pit toilet?
Nope. Or if anything, the items after being placed in the bucket are then thrown outside in some type of hole.
God, that's horrible.
But this is a reality of something that exists in Barbados.
How long has this been going on?
This has been going on for over a year and a half.
There's an old person?
No. I wouldn't share the age, but not to disclose who it is, but it's not an old person. Person is not 40 years old yet.
Have you not drawn this to the attention of any of the ministries?
We exchanged with a ministry a couple of weeks ago. Like, for example, no.
The individual works?
Person doesn't work. The rural development had said...
Why doesn't the person work?
To that, will therefore give a little more information about identify who it is, okay?
All right, I don't want you to do that.
The reasons are legitimate at this point in time.
Okay, all right, that's all I needed to hear, that there's a legitimate reason. Yeah. You're saying that Urban is onto it?
Yes, but Urban doesn't have the funds. So Urban promised a house, that they will build a house. In fact, they said at some point in time that what they have now as a house is not a house in their mind, so they could not even put on a toilet, a bath. Whoa. So they will build a whole house. But this is, over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the reality of government, the funds are not available.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay?
No, I got you.
And that's real, all right? Then, if I use one other example... A single mother of either four or five, okay, and not a lot of help from the father. And let's take an example: the mother works in a hotel, okay. Hotels are closed. One hotel manager shared last week that out of their 500 members of staff, they've laid off 480 for 3 months.
Whoa.
Okay, this is real. And so why I was sharing this, the whole idea, look, there are people out there with genuine need who really and truly have no real means of provision consistently over whatever period of shutdown.
I got you.
And the appeal is for whoever can to find a mechanism to supplement what government is doing. Our government cannot do it. In fact, no government could do it all on their own, far less one that's under IMF program.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's some mechanism that people can go to, let's say, for example, a chicken outlet and buy chicken and buy some extra and leave as donations to people in need, you go to a supermarket and do the same. But it's for us as persons living in Barbados, Barbadians and otherwise, let us be innovative. Let us find a mechanism that's trustworthy to be able to provide for real needs of people who live here in Barbados.
Okay, agreed. All right, Matt, sir, let me thank you for your contribution, and you touched several important points. So I appreciate hearing from you, and hopefully we can chat again soon. All right, okay. I have a couple of corrections to make before we go on. Several people have told me that Chris Cuomo is Andrew Cuomo's brother. I think I said brother-in-law. I didn't even realize I said brother-in-law because I've always known him to be the brother. So for the purposes of clarity, as I said, I've received this message about 10 times. Chris is Andrew's brother. He's the governor's brother. So he is tested positive, not his brother-in-law. The other thing is that when I referred to the note from Stetson earlier, I said that we are allowed to say people are not persons. Sorry. We're allowed to say persons are not people, which is the opposite of what he told me. So we can say people are not persons. So the correct one would be people are not persons. So Rosemary, we can say people, and that's what I said. So that correction is also made. Where else are we listening? Yeah. Okay, I think that's it for now. Let's go back to the calls. 4341. Oh, apparently it's a grass fire in Eden Lodge. It's a grass fire that is close by. It's not anybody burning stuff, but there's a grass fire, which may very well have started with somebody burning stuff. People, this is not a time to be burning stuff. You know, I know the Prime Minister said to do gardening, but you're going to have to find a way of disposing of your garden refuse another way, but not by burning. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Becker.
Hey, how are you doing, Mrs. Straker Sanitary? Good to hear you.
I'm good. How about you?
Me, I'm great. I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. All right, last time we spoke, Mr. Vikram, I had asked you about the Dos Santos Laboratory. Mm-hmm. And then I went on to show you that there's some other projects that turned out to be lifesavers for this present administration that was built in the same decade that you spoke about. Now, lo and behold, I understand that they're commandeering now the Blackman and Gollop School. You know when that was built, though?
You tell me.
No, you know.
I don't know. Mr. Strickers, we're going to need to get through this quickly because we don't have a lot of time. You tell me, when was it built?
It was built in the same decade as all the rest.
Okay, the last decade. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And it is amazing how a decade could have been lost. Mm-hmm. And yet still that you can find so many lifesavers in it.
Yeah, lost and it is found.
Well, no, it don't just do so, Mr. Vickham. That might be all right as in one sentence. But it can't be lost and found just so, Mr. Vickham. That might be the head up and some department where you head things that either lost and found. But you know, if it's lost, it must be a long way back. And it can't be just lost and then all of a sudden it is a lifesaver for this government. And you can look and see all the things that are lifesavers for this government. Next thing, the commandeering a school, a primary school like that, the children are just about ready to make the transition. The gymnasium is up there vacant, Mr. Vickham, with hardly anything to do, if anything at all.
You said children are ready to make the transition to what?
Huh?
Children are ready to make the transition to what?
To secondary school.
But what is the impact of that?
What is the impact of it?
What is the impact of their transition to secondary school?
Well, if you come and take away their school, you were going to tell me what would be the impact.
You really think that children going back in school in any hurry?
If I really think so.
Do you believe that children in Barbados are going back in school in any hurry?
Anybody going into the gymnasium in any hurry?
No, anybody, but I'm asking you about the school. I can get to the gymnasium point. I'm going to get to the gymnasium point. Do you think that at this rate, it's likely that anyone is going back into school in any hurry?
Yes, I would say so.
Well, I would say no. Do you think that at this rate, it's likely that anybody's going to be writing any 11-plus exam in June?
Yes, I would say so.
And I would also think not. So clearly, you and I are on different sides of the track on this issue.
Exactly.
Because my sense is that the school was constructed, clearly, as you're saying, your government had all this wisdom to construct it during the last decade, and it was constructed as a hurricane shelter, which means that it has the facilities that would allow people to live and exist. To the best of my knowledge, the gymnasium, which was constructed in a previous last decade, which is in the 80s, has no such facilities. It is not designed to operate as an independent facility on its own because it wasn't constructed for that purpose. So the Blackman and Gollop School seems to be a likely alternative venue to be commandeered under these circumstances for the health purposes because it has the facilities to shower and so on, as would any hurricane shelter. That is the logic that has been given, and it sounds like a perfectly good reason. If I were you, I would not bestir my heart because I am fairly sure that children are not going back and did a study in any hurry. Indeed, I'm sure that children are not going back in any school in Barbados in any hurry because this situation is a long way away from resolution.
So what you don't look at the possibility that they might not be going back in there at all?
How do you mean?
So if you think that people going there and afterwards.
Mrs. Strigerson, I think you're being a bit melodramatic.
No, Mr. Wickham, I come along with...
You're being melodramatic.
Mental, I come along with the mental day in Black Rock. Mm-hmm. And
you came along in the mental? Lazaretta,
and the lazaretta down at the bottom of Black
you
Rock.
You came along in the mental?
I said came along in it. Of course I rambled in it as a boy.
Okay, you've never been an inpatient, though.
As a boy, the mental was part of
have you
of
ever
the
been
community.
An in or outpatient of the mental?
I've never been a patient.
Either
but
in or out.
You, some of the most wholesome things that ever happened in this country happened in the mental. You see, when I was a boy, hatchery. You know where the farm get the name, the farmhouse in the area? Mm-hmm. Because there was a farm, Deacon's Farm. There was a farm.
Mm-hmm.
There was cricket. There was the agriculture. There was even the
What's the point you're making, though?
Listen to me, Mr.
I know, but what's the broader point you're making about the mental?
Huh? It was a very wholesome place.
I know, but what's the broader point you're saying that you come along seeing the mental?
I was showing you that even the lazaretta, mm-hmm. which was the leper hospital when I was a boy,
mm-hmm.
that even when it was finished and David, that people still weren't going there. To know people still weren't going there.
No, it's going there. Are you telling me that's where the archives are?
Right, but people still frightened to go wrong there because the deaths and things about there.
One step at a time. If you want me to, I can congratulate your government for having had the foresight to build the Blackman and Gollop School. That's what you wanted me to do. I will congratulate you all for building the Blackman and Gollop School. I would also congratulate your government for having completed the Dos Santos Center for testing. I will congratulate your government in a previous orientation for having built the... Sir Lloyd Sandiford Center. As you know, I was part of a team that paid tribute to Sir Lloyd in that center, and I'm very proud of Sir Lloyd's achievement in that regard. And I would also congratulate your government for building the gymnasium, all of which you had the foresight to have done in this last decade or the one before that, that you were in office. And I will congratulate you for that.
And
to go further, and ask me to speak to what will happen at the Blackman and Gollop School later. Is something that is beyond me right now because I believe we have a crisis to manage. And I congratulate this government for having the foresight to manage it using the facilities that your government, for which I congratulated, had the foresight to build. Okay.
Well, Mr. Vikram,
yes,
I want to thank you for at least once manning up.
Yes.
But I'm going to give
I
you...
I do that all the time.
I'm going to give... No, that's not true, Mr.
All the time.
You just run away and hide.
Credit,
I'm going to
yeah.
give you now the opportunity now, as a member of the Fourth Estate,
mm-hmm.
to do a little research on the among a project that was built in the so-called decade. I don't even call it, but I want to just call it in the so-called decade.
I think the decade... The decade was lost for other reasons, Strikers.
Oh, for other reasons.
It was lost for other reasons.
Oh, so it wasn't completely lost.
I've said it on this program that one of the key things that the Democrat Labor Party achieved during the last decade was the focus on energy. I thought the energy policy was a very comprehensive one. I've said it several times on this program, you may not have heard. But certainly the good things I say about the DLP are often forgotten, the bad things are remembered, but certainly the energy policy was sound. I thought that the policy of subsidizing fuel was wrong. That was something that David Thompson put right, and then it was followed subsequently by a fairly robust alternative energy policy that I have been supportive of on several occasions. So the problem is that you don't listen to me properly. You was only listening when I cussing the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister.
Mr. Wickham, you used to accuse me of not reading your articles, mm-hmm. and the only person in Barbados who used to correct you was me too. So you can draw your own conclusion. I don't have a problem with that. But I want you to do some research
mm-hmm.
on the projects. Okay. And remember, I stress projects that was built. And you can start with the 6 office blocks. Remember, there are 6 office blocks that was built.
Right. I would like to start with the energy waste energy plant. And then I'm gonna go from there to the sugar factory.
No, Mr. Wickham.
And then I'm gonna go from there to the Water Authority headquarters. And then go from there to the SSA headquarters. That was before that I wanna talk about.
Before? Well, listen, you can start with the CX rebuilding.
Well, we can start with that, but then let's go from there straight to the waste of energy.
Well, we can go. We can go.
Now, how much
you can also transfer it straight across the Greenland, you know.
Well, you can that a problem. And we can talk about the Golden Showers, too.
You can take a look at the Baobab Towers.
We can talk about the Golden Showers, too, if you,
you
want.
You can take a look at Warren's Towers, too.
Well,
you can take a look at the immigration building.
The bigger
and
point.
You just mentioned the other two.
Right. The bigger point, Strakers, though, and this is not a time for political tit for tat. The bigger point is that a lost decade is not defined based on one or two good projects or one or two bad projects. A lost decade is defined on the cumulative sum of stuff that is done and not done. And I think that that's really where the judgment has come to bear. The judgment hasn't come to rest on DeSantos or on Saloy Sandiford or on Blackmon Gollop. The judgment has come to bear on an assessment of a period of time over which so many things that didn't need to be done appear to have been done, and so many things that needed to have been done were not done. And that is something which I don't expect you to accept, but that's my feeling. Final word from you, and then we're going to go.
Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because if you look at the amount of legislation that was passed, things that was done, Mr. Wickham, nothing could be further from the truth. And apart from those projects, remember that, you know, a police station, a double police station just got opened. That also was built. The one, the municipal center in King Garden, that also was built, Mr. Wickham. But don't worry to think that because that what you want to do, then do, that you can come and gloss over it like with paint and say that this wasn't done, so it was lost. Right. And know that you can find all the projects.
Okay.
They are lifesavers today. Because you remember last time we end off on the same Saloy Durkin Sanford Center.
Okay. All right, Strakers, we're going to have to run. Michelle is saying to you that you need to be careful with the use of the word man up, because it is a very gender-sensitive term that you may be called upon to explain at some point in time. Her words, not mine. Apparently, DeSantos was started by the Barbados Labour Party in 2005 and was concluded in 2009-10 by the Democratic Labour Party. It was a refurbishment of the QEH lab, as I understand it. And so it's shared between the two administrations. I pretty much think that this is a futile discussion. I mean, I engaged Straker Sanitary in it for a while, but honestly, this idea of who did what and what, especially in a crisis like this, I think is a futile conversation, and most people on the chat agree with me. Rastax, good afternoon. We're down to 52 minutes past the hour of one. We have about 8 minutes remaining on the program. We say good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good.
Right. I want to expedite this. What happened is I spoke to this tanker last week about this issue with the bearer's note. So I left my number, but subsequently I wasn't able to get hold of him or really to this point. But somebody just told me that you made a comment on it. Because I was telling him about this old lady that lives alone, 80-something, on welfare, a pensioner. And I went for the drugs for her and got turned away. And I was thinking that since she's a major supplier, with a pharmacy as well, that the courtesy could have still extended. But that was not to be the case. I was sent to the doctor to get a prescription with knowledge that she have to buy it. The reason why it's difficult for her, as I told you earlier, she's a pensioner, she's on welfare already, and she cannot really afford to buy the drug. The three drugs, when I went to the pharmacy with the doctor prescription, one drug costed what I would have paid for a supply from the agent. So no one drug is costing that money. So I had told Sanka, I don't know what to do. She's still without them. But I said, let me call you because somebody said you've commented on it briefly. So I don't know if you had got further information or what.
I don't have any further information. I just have a problem. I mean, I know someone personally that has that challenge, and you know, I've made it. I've been co-opted to help raise and publicize this issue as a problem. I don't have a solution. The presumption is that when I spoke to the UK problem or the UK alternative, it essentially it said that the net of the Barbados Drug Service needs to be broader. Now, I've always known this. Having a drug on the formulary helps in many ways. It helps to reduce the cost, not only to those who get it free, but also for those who pay for it. Mm-hmm. The challenge with a drug that's not on the formulary is that ultimately the pharmacist can drop whatever markup they want on it and, you know,
right.
Grapple smoke your pipe.
But if a little interjection...
Or your drug, as the case may be.
Yeah, yeah. If I interject here, the drug is on the formulary.
It is on the formulary.
But it is the problem. The problem is that the consultant was treating this old lady using the brand. But then the former minister of health... Mm-hmm.
It's not on the formulary then?
It is.
The generic is on the formulary.
The generic is on the formulary.
But the original drug is not on the formulary.
But here what happened, mm-hmm. When the change was made a couple of years ago and the brand was taken off, she was using the generic,
mm-hmm.
and it made her very sick. But what I didn't know at the time was that other patients were having problems mm-hmm. too, so the consultant assisted them, those who couldn't pay, after they did a means test, to get the bearer's note.
Right.
So that's how this old lady got the bearer's note. So she could get the brand. She can use.
But now she gets
generic.
Stopped.
No, she gets stopped in her tracks with two tablets left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was last week.
No, I get it. I am curious to know, as I said, what the solution is. I guess the solution would be to put some of the original drugs back on the formulary. When it was done, Minister Innes assured us, he was Minister of Health at the time, that they were in constant conversations with the pharmacists and with the doctors to ensure that nobody would be left in the situation that she's left in. I am aware that there are some doctors that are uncomfortable with generics. I remember I was treated by one many years ago who said he doesn't do generics. But such is the nature of his practice. There are other situations that are medical reasons why generics don't work for a particular patient and they have to go on the original because there are some slight differences between the two sometimes. So this is an issue that has to be addressed. And
it has to be.
I can only hope that by my mentioning it and by your identifying it, because every day that passes, somebody else that has that challenge is coming to the fore and expressing these concerns.
And the thing about it, this is not a doctor say that's making qualms, you know. This she is a patient, a QEHO patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's serviced by the state.
The important point you have to make in her case, though, is that her drug is not on the formulary.
Right.
So to say that the generic version is on the formulary, so her drug is covered, it's not. And the solution would be to have her drug placed on the formulary. And they said, even if she's not getting it free, at least there has to be a way to classify drugs to essentially keep some level of control over the kind of markup that a pharmacist would be able to put on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So ideally, though, Peter, I need to get some action on this. So I was trying to reach Ms. Ford, but I guess I don't have the right numbers.
Leave your number with the producer. And I will put you on to someone who is trying to raise some kind of a campaign, and let's see if we can get some fire under this issue. I do believe that it's a situation where the authorities are not fully aware of the impact, and if they became aware, then they would have to come up with some kind of solution. Because the reality of the situation, sir, is that it is a problem, and it is also a legal peculiarity, because as I understand it, the only person that can give you a drug is a pharmacist. So what a bearer's note essentially says is you're issuing it to a doctor, which is wrong, okay? Legally, it's wrong. So it's kind of something that is a delicate issue and has to be approached, and I do feel that we could benefit from some further conversation on it. Anyhow, so you leave your number with the producer, and I'm going to get in contact with you after the program. All right, sir? Thanks a lot for calling. We have 2 minutes remaining. Let's see if we can get two or three more. Well, let's see if we can get two calls in. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. We have enough. Oh, no, we can't. All right. Sanka is telling me that he is aware of the issue. I believe that's what he's saying. He's typing a little bit too slowly, and we're running out of time. All right, Sanku, we're going to have to take up this issue with you on Sunday, unfortunately. Special thanks to the production team, which was essentially Mr. John Stout. I want to thank him for his support during the course of the program. I want to thank all of you for calling and making the program what it was for the last couple hours. I did enjoy being in your company. I appreciated the listenership, both local and overseas. And I certainly hope that next week when we come back, the program will be able to be on a brighter note and that we're out of this situation, or alternatively on our way out of the situation. There's a gentleman called Larry Mears who is waiting to come into the studio, and he will take you through the afternoon. Until then, do take care of yourself. Remember, if you can stop home, stop home. And if you have to go out, please ensure that you are under the age of 50, which means that I will need to stop home too. All right, take care of yourself, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.